It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, any cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in the four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunja Hade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and Twin City Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. On our sacred animal section of the show today, Wendy Pilot will be talking about... What will you be talking about, Wendy?
Well, I'm going to be talking about a petition that is online right now to help ban snares and mm-hmm. other things. So
awesome. And then we have this young actor here, and he's going to be Ajuwak. Thank you very much. I'm glad this is not live, right? We can get that out in editing. I want to welcome him, and we're going to be talking about the upcoming movie and what else he does in his life. He sounds like he's a well-rounded young man. And then we're going to have my Choka Curtis, and he's going to bring us news, Ho-Chunk news, and whatever else comes to his mind. So why don't we get started, Wen? Let's get going here right now. Can you tell us your name, please?
Well, my name is Hanajihi Hani, and but first, I think Curtis, you need to say something about one of our sponsors here.
Yes, this portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! You always have to get that howl in.
That's right.
Awesome. I'm glad we were able to get that done. You know, I signed another petition online yesterday, and I often do that. These petitions often come up, and they ask all different kinds of things. So this time, the petition is to, one, repeal Minnesota laws that allow recreational wolf hunting and trapping. Two, it bans the snare, which is a cruel trapping method that kills dogs, wolves, eagles, and other wildlife. And three, we need required written permission to trap on private property. And finally, continue to support grant programs for farmers, non-lethal prevention methods to avoid wolf's livestock conflicts. And this petition is online, and it is from one of our sponsors, Howling for Wolves. So we're glad to be able to tell you about that.
Yeah, and what exactly is a snare trap, Wendy?
You know, trappers, usually fur trappers, use baited snares, and it's a thin wire noose that chokes animals to death. Snares can discriminate. They can't discriminate between wild animals and our pets. And, you know, your dog could die silently in a snare trap.
So when are there states that ban these snares?
Well, there's 20 other states that ban this barbaric trapping method, and it's urgent for Minnesotans as a bill will be voted on in just the next couple of weeks. So, you know, snares choke animals to death, cause amputations, disembowelment, and painful injuries. Like I said, 20 states have outlawed these traps for good reason.
And say, maybe you can remind everyone what disembowelment is.
Okay, so disembowelment is the removal of some or all of the organs of the intestinal tract. So snare traps sound like a horrific way for an animal to die. And believe it or not, right now in Minnesota, if you own private property, a hunter can place a snare or any other kind of trap on your private property without your permission. This bill is also asking for written permission from landowners if a hunter wants to place a trap. If approved, Minnesota will be the 23rd state that requires trappers obtain clear written permission to set traps on someone else's property. Only agricultural land or land adequately posted with no trespassing signs are exempt from trapping access. But if the signs are missed or not seen, traps can be set legally without the property owner's permission. And I can tell you, Robert, if we owned a lot of property, right, I would never want snares or any other kind of trap set on our property. And you know, our friend who lives in Delano, Minnesota, you know, her and her husband have quite a few acres of land, and her two dogs are free to roam that property. And I wonder if she's aware that a hunter could set traps on her property without her knowledge.
How do people sign this petition, Wen?
Well, I made it really easy. I shared the petition on our Facebook page, Native Roots Radio, I'm Awake. All you have to do is put your name, address, and phone number, and automatically a pre-written letter will go to your state representative. You don't even have to know who your state representative is. By putting in that information, the computer will find who your representative is and will send it. And you know, Wisconsin has required permission to hunt and trap on private land since 1995. Really, the petition takes less than 2 minutes to fill out. And before we leave the station today, everyone here is going to sign the petition.
Ooh.
Yeah. You know, the petition will go to your governor, state senator, and state representative. And I talked about this very thing last year, and unfortunately, the bill did not pass. So I'm going to bring it up every year until Minnesota passes it. You know, if Wisconsin can do it, we can too. We humans have an obligation to take care of our wildlife. Just last week, we talked about how wolves change rivers. And I just read an article from the New York Times dated March 16th, 2018, and it was written by Joanne Klein, titled, Rewilding: Missing Carnivores Help Restore Some Landscapes.
Tell us about what rewilding is, Wen.
Well, rewilding, and I always want to say rewinding, but it's not rewinding, it's rewilding, is when they return a certain carnivore, so a meat-eating animal, back to an area where it's been missing for a long time. They returned wolves to Yellowstone back in 1995, and what happened was the wolves thinned out the large deer and elk population, which had eaten valleys bare. And that helped bring back trees and shrubs. And then the birds and the beavers, as well as the animals that live in dams, also returned. The wolves ate coyotes, freeing up prey for others. Bears and raptors came back. And with more trees controlling erosion, the flow of some rivers were less chaotic, and they formed pools. That became new habitats for other animals. William Ripple, an ecologist at Oregon State University, said, we're just uncovering these effects of large carnivores at the same time their populations are declining and are at risk. And he found if you rewild some carnivores and return them back to lost ranges, this cascade of ecological bounty may return. And Layla, I'm going to mess up this name, Layla Abel Raham, she's an anthropologist who has studied human understanding of wildness, says, and I think she says it perfectly, she says, perhaps the solution is rethinking what it means to be humans in a natural world. We must recognize our role as partners with the environment rather than dominators to maintain a functioning ecosystem. So do we really want to use snares in Minnesota to kill off our beautiful wolf population? You know, I Googled Minnesota snares. I just popped that into the Google, and a website popped up that sells these wired noose snares. You know, you can buy a dozen beaver snares for $14.95 or wolf-specific snares for $38.95 a dozen. You know, and I really got chills looking at these snares.
Wendy, give us a quick wrap-up here.
You know, so I need to, I want everyone to go to our Facebook page, Native Roots Radio, I'm Awake, and sign the petition from Howling for Wolves. We need a kinder Minnesota. We need to ban the snare traps. require written permission to trap on private property, and continue to support grant programs to help farmers use non-lethal methods to avoid wolf-livestock conflicts. As Layla Abel-Raham said, we must recognize our role as partners and not dominators.
Why is it so hard to get this bill passed?
Just like the NRA, the National Rifle Association, any regulation on guns feels to them like no guns. And the Hunting Association is the same way. Any regulation on hunting, even if it's cruel, screams anti-hunting to them. So we know that these organizations have strong lobbyists who have a lot of pull. So we need to kind of work together with these organizations to protect our animals. So it's been rough, but we'll see what happens this legislative session.
Peeny Gigi for that update, Wendy, and everything you do for the show, and I know, and everything else you do. We are pre-America. We are the descendants of the people you couldn't kill off. We speak against pipelines that go through our native and treaty lands. We put out tobacco for our relatives that are suffering with the alcohol and drug problem. We pray hard for the spiritual malady to end. We support all language warriors that are preserving our language and way of life. To our missing and murdered Native women, you are not forgotten. This show is dedicated to those who give back, fight back to our people. We are the resistance. We are awake.
The Neighborhood Cafe is a locally owned and operated business and proud sponsor of I'm Awake. Enjoy a great happy hour Tuesday through Saturday from 3 to 6 p.m. with specials on food and drinks. The Neighborhood Cafe serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner, all made from scratch daily. Located next to O'Gara's in St. Paul off Snelling and Selby, stop in and try one of their specialty sandwiches or delicious burgers paired with a local craft beer. More at theneighborhoodcafe.com.
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org or find us on Facebook at MN350. Building a climate movement in Minnesota.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States. And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Six unique, fun, exciting, winning destinations located throughout central Wisconsin. Make your rounds to Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, or Wisconsin Dells for the hottest slots, most exciting games, award-winning guest service, delicious food and spirits, lodging, and live entertainment. Join the Ho-Chunk Gaming Rewards Club for free. And with a single card, you can earn valuable points no matter which of the six locations you choose to play. That means more exclusive offers, giveaways, cash back, discounts, and much more. Visit us online to see all we have to offer and find the fun times nearest you at HoChunkGaming.com. So wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, and Wisconsin Dells.
Experience the difference. Home Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin.
Must be 21 or over to play.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Ordway, bringing you Inuk singer Tanya Tagak.
Oh, I'm glad I didn't have to say that again. Hey, we're excited to have Ajuwak Kapashizik. Kapashizik, thank you so much. I know one of the things that being an educator, one of the most important things that a student or a person owns is their name, so I apologize.
I appreciate that.
I appreciate you being here, and I would really, we're excited to have you here. You're an actor, mm-hmm. a writer, an indigenous language linguist, and you're playing in a role in an upcoming movie called Indian Horse, and I've seen that kind of flying around on Facebook. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself first?
Sure. I was born in a place called Moose Factory, Ontario. It's a Cree community. It's where my father's side of the family's from, so I'm Cree on that side. But I also grew up on the White Earth Reservation here in Minnesota, uh-huh. on my mother's side, who's Ojibwe.
Cool.
So I've been going back and forth between those two my whole life, really. And I've lived all over the place, lived in Canada, lived here in Minnesota, lived in Washington, D.C. Now I live in Minneapolis, and started getting into acting a couple of years ago now, and kind of led into this project here, this Indian Horse.
That's awesome. Can you, tell me a little bit about what is it to be an indigenous language linguist?
Linguist.
Thank you.
It's a really rewarding work, but it's also very, very difficult work, you know. A lot of times what I try to focus on is working with communities where and when I can to talk about language reclamation and helping in whatever capacity that means. Sometimes that means, you know, working on a dictionary project or transcribing things from, say, a linguist's notes into their orthography.
Oh.
Oftentimes those change, or creating curriculum or any sort of classes, writing stuff for programming. You know, it kind of just depends on what you need. For this specific field of work, it's very dynamic. It's something that changes constantly because each community is different and each mm-hmm. language is different. So whatever it is that they need is something you have to try to provide.
Oh, wow. That's pretty heavy. That's awesome. So when you say you're an actor or writer, what does that mean? Do you write short plays, or do you are working on a screenplay?
Yeah, I've written a few short plays. One of them was produced here in the Twin Cities with New Native Theater.
Oh,
I did a short play with a friend of mine named Jennifer Hall. So her and I, we co-wrote this one, and it was produced. It was in 2016 during their national 10-minute play festival,
yes.
which they put on every year.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, I've written another one that they did a play reading in a competition at, I think it's called Native Voices at the Autry, which is in Los Angeles area.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've written some short plays. I've written a full-length play that's still kind of in development. And short films. I've been writing short films for about the same amount of time.
Wow, that's exciting. So do you get behind the camera? Or are you in front of the camera? Are you directing? Or are you shooting?
I would like
to editing?
At a certain point. Mm-hmm. So far I've only really done work in front of the camera.
Mm-hmm.
I've done the writing for stuff that hopefully gets produced in the coming years. And directing is something I would think about. But I've been on quite a few projects, and it seems like a difficult job, you know. Like it asks a lot of people, and I would be more than willing to do it, but I still want to learn a bit more before I jump into that.
So, when you write, who do you write for?
That's an interesting question. I typically, when I'm writing, I'm trying to write something that is interesting to me. Like the characters are interesting, the setting is interesting, and oftentimes I want it to be something that I haven't seen before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if the first thing that I wrote with my friend Jennifer Hall, it was this short play that was about that the concept was that there was this zombie apocalypse that occurred in Minneapolis. And so the entire city kind of got overrun with zombies. But the thing about the zombies was that only white people were becoming zombies, and they started hunting down Native people.
Oh.
And it was the characters, the two main characters, they were mixed blood people. So they were not, enrolled in their tribe.
Mm.
So the kind of the metaphor that we were going for was that they were not recognized mm-hmm. as native people, so they weren't actually chased by the zombies. It was only the people that came from the res that had membership in their community were the ones that are actually being hunted.
Well, that's interesting because that, in a way, is pretty deep because I have children that aren't enrolled. It's kind of a interesting slant. It is deep for us. Wendy had a question, and she wrote it down for me, and so I'm going to ask you, did you go to school for acting?
No, actually, I didn't. I went to McAllister College in St. Paul, and I did linguistics and Hispanic studies.
The Scots.
Yeah, the Scots. I actually didn't get into acting until it was about 3 years after graduating is when mm-hmm. I started, really. Since then, I've tried to learn more about it. I did end up taking a class at McAllister, it was about a year ago now, mm-hmm. In their theater department there. But that's the main thrust of my training. Most of what I've learned has been on the job, mm-hmm. kind of talking mm-hmm. with different actors or directors or whoever will really talk to me.
Right.
Nice.
That is nice. This is a hard thing to say, but when you act in front of the camera, in front of the theater, do you change who you are, or are you channeling the character through you, or the other way around?
It kind of depends on the project, you know, because each character is different. I try to get a lot of diversity in the roles that I take. So sometimes I'll find a character that's, say in Indian Horse, for example, this has a lot to do with residential schools and hockey in Canada. And so for that specifically, you know, my grandfather went through the residential schools in Canada, and a lot of members of our community, including my father, were big supporters of hockey, big hockey players.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of that I kind of just channeled what I grew up with, what I had known from my community, my family, and that really helped me for that. And then there's also a play that I did in 2016, I think it was, with New Native Theater called Sneaky. It's a Bill Yellowrope play.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to play one of the one of these three brothers, and he's you know, in his 30s, and he's a pretty big alcoholic. And so for that, I'm not personally an alcoholic, but I know people in the community who are.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of went back to what I remembered about them and talked to certain people, and just kind of got a feel for that character based on my experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just kind of channeled that.
That's awesome. Because, you know, it works in both ways. That's why I kind of asked, because John Wayne always played John Wayne no matter mm-hmm. what movie he was in. And then you have actors that become the person and lose weight and, you know, become totally the person, you know. So mm-hmm. that's interesting because it can go both ways. And I'm an old Actors Theater junkie, so I liked the method.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely. So great. We're speaking here with Ajuwok, and we're going to be back after a quick break, and we're going to talk about the movie that's coming up and when we can see it and all that really good information. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
While I'm pregnant, I can keep our baby safe by not drinking, smoking, or using drugs. But how are we going to keep her safe after she's born?
When I grow up, I look forward to dancing in powwows, going to college, and being successful. But I don't want to be one of three American Indian women to be raped or sexually assaulted in her lifetime.
As relatives and friends of Native women, it is our responsibility to stand up and speak out for every woman's right to be safe in her home and the community.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org. Or find us on Facebook at MN350, building a climate movement in Minnesota.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Get ready for an exciting time for a great cause. Woman of Nations, MAW, PW4C, proudly present Grand Slam 2018. Saturday night, April 21st. Proceeds to benefit Woman of Nations, Eagle Nest Shelter. The show takes place at the Minneapolis American Indian Center and will be the first show there since 1993. So this is truly an event 25 years in the making. This event will showcase many of the region's top performers, all bringing their best to this historically important venue. Grand Slam 2018, Saturday night, April 21st. Proceeds to benefit the Woman of Nations.
Ticket sales and other proceeds will be donated to Woman of Nations to support the emergency shelter and associated programs. Woman of Nations, Eagle Nest Shelter, which offers shelter and programming to those in the Native American community affected by domestic abuse.
Tickets and more information at MidwestAllStarWrestling.com.
Celebrated Inuk performer Tanya Tagak is bringing her Retribution Tour to the Ordway in St. Paul on April 20th. Presented by Ordway and Walker Arts Center in association with the Cedar Cultural Center. Tanya Tagak, Retribution, live at the Ordway in St. Paul, Friday, April 20th. More information available at ordway.org.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today will be snowy with half an inch possible, highs near 28. Tonight, mostly clear with low around 11. Sunday, sunny with a high near 34. And Sunday night, mostly clear with a low around 21. Monday, a 70% chance of snow with highs near 35. EatLocalMinnesota.com's restaurant of the week is Milda's Cafe, a family-owned restaurant featuring home-cooked style breakfast and lunch with hot dish specials every day. Located at 1720 Glenwood Avenue in Minneapolis, just east of Bend.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, we're back here with Ajuwak Kapa Shizit, and how'd I do?
You're getting better. Getting warmer.
Can you say it?
Ajuwak Kapa Shizit.
We're going to have you on next week, and I'll be perfect. Shoot, sorry about that. Hey, he's the actor, writer, and also a native language linguist. So we're here. We're going to be talking now about this portion about the movie that he's in, and there's an opening up north, and there's an opening in the Twin Cities. Let's talk about Indian Horse and your experience with Indian Horse. Can you give us a little synopsis on the story and who wrote it and what's your part?
Sure, yeah. So the film is called Indian Horse. It's based on this book by the late author Richard Wagamese, and it's about this character by the name of Saul Indian Horse, who kind of grows up in the residential school system in Canada. He starts with his family and then gets separated, ends up in the school, goes through that, learns about hockey, and becomes a really successful hockey player, and that kind of helps him get out of the school, and he ends up starting to play for the development league in hockey, in a feeder team about mm-hmm. to go to the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
And he's dealing with kind of the things that happened to him in the school and the things that have happened to his people, and also dealing with things that, a lot of people can kind of relate to, like the racism that he comes across. This is in the especially in the 1960s, I think is when the sequence that I'm in kind of going on, 60s and 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's dealing with all of these things and all the pressure that comes with that. And it's kind of about his life, but through his life also about the story of a lot of Indigenous people, both in Canada and the U.S. and abroad.
Really? You know, I talked to my Choka there, and he talks about, you know, probably before Wounded Knee, not being proud to be Native and trying to be low-key and maybe saying you're Latino instead of Native. And Wounded Knee brought out the occupation of Wounded Knee, and the American Indian movement really brought that up. So the 70s and prior to that, it was, we were worse than worse.
Yeah, it was really, really difficult to be a Native person at that time. And it's still in a lot of ways is today.
Yes.
But, you know, definitely after the 70s with things like AIM coming about and stuff like that, that really opened up a lot of doors for Native people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. So this happened in Canada, this story? Is that where it takes place, Canada?
Yeah, it takes place in Ontario.
I kind of heard when you said hockey, I kind of heard a Canadian accent.
Yeah.
I was like, oh.
That's what happens when you grow up on both sides of the border like that, and you just kind of pick up a bit of both.
Let's talk about your character real quick. What do you play? I know we were talking about it took 2 months, 60 days to shoot, which is a relatively quick shoot. I'm sure you were like moving quick.
Yeah. I was I actually play Saul Indian Horse at the kind of the later stages of his life. It's broken up into three sections. So it's him when he's young, him when he's a teenager, and him when he's an adult. And so I got to play the adult section. And I was on the set for traveling for about 6 weeks, and we shot it all in Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
And all my sequences were in Ontario. And it was a great time traveling, getting to meet a lot of Native actors. Some of them had been around for a while. Some of them were brand new. So that was great. There's also like a lot of really supportive crew. Some of them were Indigenous, some weren't.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a really good experience.
Wow, that's awesome. So when you played the character, the older character, was he done with hockey then and he'd become?
Actually, no. I play him. I don't remember the exact year, but he's probably around 20 or so. So he's still playing at that point. I kind of pick up in the story right when he starts to leave his kind of regional team and join the development team,
mm-hmm.
the feeder team for the Maple Leafs.
Oh, wow.
So I'm playing through that sequence. Then I play through the end of the movie when it kind of goes through the rest of his life.
Stuntman?
I did have one. they asked me to play a lot of hockey. And I grew up playing a little bit of hockey, but it really wasn't my sport. It didn't click with me that well.
Hmm.
I ended up playing rugby instead.
My native name was Ankle Skater back then, so I feel you.
Yeah, I like my feet on the ground. You know? Standing on ice with knives on your feet was not something I was really into.
Oh, good one, good one.
So they wanted me to play a lot more hockey. And I started practicing as soon as I was, getting into the auditions and stuff. But thankfully, the youngest Saul Indian Horse is a kid named Sladen Peltier, very talented actor and
mm-hmm.
extremely talented hockey player as well.
Mm.
And he comes from a family of great hockey players. So we got really lucky that one of his cousins, a fellow by the name of Beau Peltier, really looked a lot like me and was a very, very talented hockey player and just an all-around great kid. And
mm-hmm.
So they actually got him on set, and he kind of covered a lot of the hockey sequences for me. And, he did an amazing job with it.
Well, let's talk about – we'll go talk about this a couple times, but I want to talk about when the movie's going to be shown. It's going to be shown up north.
Yeah, it's going to – it has its release in Canada in theaters nationwide around the 13th of April, I believe. It's that Friday there.
Mm-hmm.
But we're having a screening in White Earth, the community of my mother's people, where I kind of grew up.
Mm-hmm.
That's April 4th, I believe. So that's coming right up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's going to be really exciting. We're going to that. And then we're going to have it here in the Twin Cities area at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Film Festival. I think the dates are the 17th
mm-hmm.
and the 25th, both
right.
of April.
Right, Tuesday the 17th. We'll put that up on our Facebook, and Wednesday the 25th. One is at 7 p.m. The 17th is, and Wednesday's is 4:40, and I could just leave work and go right there. And so that's convenient.
You.
Yeah, we'll go together. So this is interesting. So synopsis is just the struggle for this young man in three different parts of his life. And, so how many people basically are in the movie? So is there big scenes where there's like hundreds of people watching the hockey?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, there's some sequences where it's just me in a car driving around, but there's also hockey games. So we have, and these were sequences mostly we shot in Sudbury, some in Peterborough, Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
We have the players on the ice, so a fair amount of kids there, plus the crew and everything. And then we get extras just to be in the audience, kind of supporting the teams. And so, yeah, we have, like, crowds of, like, 100 people showing up and mm-hmm. stuff. And that was really great. It was a really fun time.
Yeah, and then they could get into it, too. And it's funny, if you're a good director, you can make 100 look like 1,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Move over here now and take your hat off.
We did a lot of that, too. We had our director is a guy by the name of Steve Campanelli. He's really talented. He's worked with...
Sounds Italian.
Yeah, he is Italian, actually.
Wendy. Wendy Pileto over there is Italian, too.
Yeah, yeah, he's an Italian guy. He grew up in Montreal, Canada, and Quebec. His mother came to the set a few times. Lovely lady, and she actually she grew up in Italy, and came across. But yeah, he's a super talented director. He's worked with Clint Eastwood on pretty much every project he's done since. Oh, I can't even remember. For decades now, they've been working together. So he's done a lot.
Yeah, I know that Clint Eastwood really relies on his people in one take, too. I don't know if you know that, but
yeah.
He runs through those movies quick.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is interesting because he really thinks the actors, he picks the right actors and trusts them. That's the word I was looking for, mm-hmm. really trust them in their craft.
Yeah, and it really shows through, you know, with how Steve directs us and everything. Because he would often, he started as a camera mm-hmm. operator, and then kind of got into directing. But he learned a lot from working with Clint, and it really shows, because he'll just kind of set up a frame of what he wants in the picture and let the actors kind of do their work. And he'll make some adjustments where he needs to.
Mm-hmm.
But he really kind of gives the actors some flexibility in how they're going to go about it. And Clint Eastwood, he talked a lot with Clint about the project. He would show it to him regularly. And Clint was so impressed by it that he came on as executive producer on the film.
Oh, that's impressive. It's interesting, too. So when you say you do a wide shot and then the actors go into the frame, so he goes back and gets cutaways?
Yeah, so
that's the magic too, you know, to keep track of that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like,
it's like, how was I looking? Was my head tilted?
I mean, like, you can do like one sequence in a movie that takes maybe a whole minute and a half of footage, and that could be, you know, a day's work.
I'd ask, easily. Where's my trailer? I'm exhausted. Exactly. So we got a few more minutes. I want to reintroduce you. But I'm going to have my wife say your name. Ready, Wendy?
No, I'm not really ready.
I threw Wendy under the bus here.
Ajuak.
Ajuak, yeah.
Kapishisik.
Kapishisit, with a T at the end.
Kapishisit. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Very good. You could teach him.
Yeah. Believe me, she was trying on the way to the studio today. And I had it, didn't
you
I?
You did. You did didn't so I? Well, but then I don't know.
I don't know. So it was interesting too. We're gonna get back and talk about the movie, but so I noticed on your Facebook, a lot of your friends that are my friends are really I think I've met through the water protecting days.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have any stories? I know that you've been to Standing Rock, and I know all three of us have been there numerous times during the and. There's things happening up north here that line three that, you know, I'm afraid that we're going to have to get our camping gear ready again, and it'd be a quicker drive. Do you have any feelings behind that?
I actually only got to go to Standing Rock once, and it was, I think it was October 2016. I was here in the Twin Cities, and I was with New Native Theater, the theater company. And we had this traveling show, this play, the one about by Bill Yellowrobes called Sneaky. So we actually were fortunate enough, we got to take that show on the road all the way to Standing Rock.
Wow.
So we went one night and we just performed it in front of all these, you know, these protectors that were there.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was incredible.
That's really cool.
It was, I think, I loved that show, and I loved the tour we had with it, and I think that was my favorite performance. Because, you know, that was such a beautiful time being there.
Well, and the energy, too, I can't imagine doing that because the energy was electric.
Yeah.
There from beginning to end, and we went through when there was 2,000 people there and when there was 20,000 people there, and it was just the same thing.
During Thanksgiving time.
Yeah, it was electric, and it was crazy. So that's in the last 40 seconds here, let's talk about when and where is the movie?
Yeah, where is it showing?
Yeah, let's talk about what's going to be up north.
Yes, in White Earth. White Earth, Minnesota. I think it's at the Circle of Life School, which is actually where I went when I was a kid.
Wow, cool. And then we're also going to be, there's going to be down in the Twin Cities on April 17th and 25th, and the name of the movie is Indian Horse.
That's a different movie.
Yeah, I think I just watched that one before I got here. But Indian Horse, thank you very much. You know, and Pini Gigi for being here, and then also feeling pity for this old man over here.
Miigwech, thanks for having me.
Get ready for an exciting time for a great cause. Woman of Nations, MAW, PW4C, proudly present Grand Slam 2018. Saturday night, April 21st. Proceeds to benefit Woman of Nations, Eagle Nest Shelter. The show takes place at the Minneapolis American Indian Center and will be the first show there since 1993. So this is truly an event 25 years in the making. This event will showcase many of the region's top performers, all bringing their best to this historically important venue. Grand Slam 2018, Saturday night, April 21st. Proceeds to benefit the Woman of Nations.
Ticket sales and other proceeds will be donated to Woman of Nations to support the emergency shelter and associated programs. Woman of Nations, Eagle Nest Shelter, which offers shelter and programming to those in the Native American community affected by domestic abuse.
Tickets and more information at MidwestAllStarWrestling.com.
Celebrated Inuk performer Tanya Tagak is bringing her Retribution Tour to the Ordway in St. Paul on April 20th. Presented by Ordway and Walker Arts Center in association with the Cedar Cultural Center. Tanya Tagak, Retribution, live at the Ordway in St. Paul, Friday, April 20th. More information available at ordway.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Genocide, lost language, rape, isolation, forced assimilation, colonization, assault, disease and torture, school, lost sexual family, abuse, relocation, lost customs, allotment, hate, reservation. Fear.
History has taken its toll on our families. Our fathers and grandfathers, our mothers, our grandmothers, they didn't deserve to be raped and abused. I don't deserve to be raped and abused. Today I walk with pride. I'm reclaiming my body, my heritage, and traditional customs that value all living things. I'm learning healthy boundaries, and I stand with Minnesota Indian women to end sexual violence. Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin, wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Six unique, fun, exciting, winning destinations located throughout central Wisconsin. Make your rounds to Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, or Wisconsin Dells for the hottest slots, most exciting games, award-winning guest service, delicious food and spirits, lodging, and live entertainment. Join the Ho-Chunk Gaming Rewards Club for free. And with a single card, you can earn valuable points no matter which of the six locations you choose to play. That means more exclusive offers, giveaways, cash back, discounts, and much more. Visit us online to see all we have to offer and find the fun times nearest you at HoChunkGaming.com. So wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin, Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, and Wisconsin Dells.
Experience the difference. Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin.
Must be 21 or over to play.
These weren't good. Oh, well.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and today we're going to be talking with Uncle Curtis about whatever comes to his mind. This is What Does My Elder Think?
This portion of the show is brought to you by J&S Bean Factory, located at 1518 Randolph Avenue in St. Paul, the good stuff.
I want to howl.
No, we have a delicious Italian Costa Rica blend that we've been drinking now for the past week that is just, I think it's my favorite.
I think you still have one more week to apologize to the coffee company, too. Because I'm having a bad show. I want to hear you apologize.
I do have to apologize because for a couple of weeks there I was calling it S&J and it's really J&S. So J&S Bean Factory.
The good stuff. Oh my God. I want to welcome Choka Curtis, not Charles Curtis, but Choka Curtis. And can you tell us your name and what you would like to talk about this week?
Aho, Pinagigi Chushke. My name is Mashke Hanajinga. I walk on a white cloud. My colonized name is Curtis West. So I want to let that one know out there. But hey, I want to say, hey, Kutagi, baby girl. I want to say that to her because I want to keep my woman happy. So, ha-ho.
Hey, Kim.
Ha-ho. Ha-ho to my family and relatives and friends in four directions. I pray all is well with y'all. So I like to do a couple different things on this. They give me a little break on that stuff. I can do what I want to do, I guess. But I want to give a shout-out. I want to give a couple shout-outs, some birthdays, some events, some messages, and stuff like that. So, but first of all, I want to start off with some birthdays. We got one down there, all the way down there in Lynchburg, Tennessee. Her name is Taylor Usleton. Her birthday's today. She's got a little chujunk down there in Tennessee.
And then who, Taylor?
We want to give a shout-out down there to Winnebago, down to Bago, Nebraska. You know, there's this guy down there. He's a real heck of a ball player. We call him Q. His name's Quincy Bass. So we're going to say, what's up, Q?
That's a good nickname.
Here's another one, too. We got a relative. His name is Brad Moyer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, his birthday's coming up, too. And I got to give a shout-out to him. Nache, that's my little brother. Nache is Gary West. He's going to be pretty close to being an elder really soon. So happy birthday, brother.
Well, Brad, you know, he's your cousin. He's my uncle. Brad, his middle name is Lee.
Brad Lee.
Yeah, and so when I was Dion, he was Brad Lee.
I like that for you guys. But and then we got one all the way down in Iowa, a relative of mine. Her name is Lori Yonkers McKee. So happy birthday to her down there. And then we got some Ho-Chunk and elders that people give me messages to give them a birthday shout-out. So we got some elders like myself out there. And first one I want to say hi to is my nanny. That's my mother. Betty Greencrow.
Oh.
And her birthday's coming up, and I'm not going to tell you how old she is. I'll get spanked on that one, but so I won't say it then. Then I got another one, too. I call her, she's my ma's sister, so I call her Nani, too. I call her mother. Her name is Dolores Beatty. She's going to be happy birthday, too, you know. Then we got one down there in God's Country over in Wisconsin. Her name is Linda Casper. And another relative of mine that I'll give a shout-out to, his name is Lionel Cloud.
Mm.
So we're going to say happy birthday to you you youngsters out there, I guess, you know. So.
Say, one thing about Betty, she's our language, Ho-Chunk language person.
She's an elite elder and elite speaker of the language. And her and we call him Cornbread is Jimmy Funmaker. He's the other elite speaker, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So Cornbread, I told him, I said, I'll say hi to him, man.
You'll get to that later.
Our event's coming up here is Thursday, April 5th. They call it my daughter, I call her Crystal. She wanted me to bring this up. It's an artist talk. And bring her home, Stolen Daughters of Turtle Island. It's going to be from 6 to 8 p.m. At the All My Relations Arts Center over at 1414 East Franklin Avenue, Minneapolis. I guess her name is Angelina. Two Stars will be the host of that table talk. And another thing, I got a shout-out today from our language class, the Ho-Chunk Nation's language class. They told me to shout out and say that they're going to be going every other Tuesday now, and that's the beginners is at 4:30, and the advanced is at 5:30. But every other Tuesday, and you can call Stephanie Yellowbank up there and get the whole scoop on it. And then, like I said, there's always a meal. You know, you can bring something to share, you know, like say, if you don't want to bring nothing to share, put your feed bag on and come and eat with us anyway, like
Ooh,
that.
I'm
you know?
Down with that. You get an extra feed bag.
Yeah. And then, let's see, we got the real important thing that's coming up for all you Ho-Chunk members up here in District 5. They're trying to redistrict us. That means if we don't get up there and make some noise about this, they're gonna close down our branch office. So they wanna close us down as a, you know, so we have to go to Wisconsin, take care of our business, you know. So that it's real important that you get up to the regional office on April 5th. That's Thursday from 5:30 to 7, and get up there and. Because we can only get mad at ourselves, we don't show up. You know,
I believe Choka that it's at the Native American Church for that date.
Oh, you're right over there. Right, you're right in Minneapolis. So yeah, so just get a hold of Stephanie and you get the address and directions up there. You know, so
I'll be going after the Twins game and hopefully I'll have a voice and I won't be tired from starting the wave every other inning.
And another thing I wanted to pass on too, you know, we were just talking about these pipelines, that Black Snake and. I guess the governor, Mark Dayton, he vows to veto of any kind of bill that's authorizing Enbridge Pipeline. So
yeah, that's
hopefully
good, too.
He'll stick it up. You know.
Yeah, and that's good. And also, I think the protest bill that's come up, too, the one that you can't protest, you'll be put in jail.
Right.
So he's going to veto that one, too, and Pinigigi, because I think he knows and understands that there's going to be another Standing Rock if he doesn't do something and on his watch.
It's gonna happen.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Tega, I think that, you know, every week that you give us a little bit of wisdom, do you have a native wisdom this week?
Yeah, this old-timer told me this story a long time ago, and he said, we are here to heal, not harm. We are here to love, not hate. We are here to create, not to destroy.
Nice. That's a good one.
That is a good one. Wow. Uh-huh. So, hey, I would like to end with these thoughts. The ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio, I'm Awake. I've been your host, Robert Pilot. I am awake. I would like to thank our listening audience and our guests today, and my elder Curtis, of course. We are the seventh generation. We are... still here.
We are awake.